The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
8 a.m. Central Time where we are. And, of course, we're back. Wow, boy, talk about a heated conversation in the last hour. Americans are arming themselves to the teeth and, you know, for good reason. And we will, Sherry, try to reach out to take our borderback.com and see if we can get somebody on the show. There's so many different reasons why this is important. What we've just been talking about this last hour and the migration situation, what Open the Books has discovered, what the CBO has discovered, 6.2 million migrants coming across the border. And we've spent $20 billion relocating them within our country. This is a problem because now they're turning into have-nots, and the have-nots go after the haves, and they take, and they get emboldened. The more they take, the stronger they get, the more emboldened they get themselves a piece, and they go out, and that's when the real trouble starts. That's when we, the people, have to stand up and say, okay, enough's enough. You know about Castle Doctrine? Well, you're about to find out, pal. End of story. Brandon Weicker joins us. He's got a couple of books out, The Shadow War, Iran's Quest for Supremacy, Biohacked, China's Race to Control Life. We're convinced, and I don't know if you heard, and I didn't get a chance to plug this, but yesterday we had a guy at the World Economic Forum that told Klaus Schwab to F off and told everybody in attendance to go F themselves. And the thing is, 19-second video clip that ends with connection lost. I mean, you got to love stuff like that. I mean, we the people are starting to get fed up, aren't we?
Right. Right. Well, I think that's right. I think you saw this with Kevin Roberts, the Heritage Foundation's president. I think you saw this with my favorite, Javier Milei. Milei, forgive me. And there is a pushback coming now to the World Economic Forum. And it's about time. I mean, I've been ranting about, you know, how ridiculous the WEF is for years, going back to when Mariana Mazzucato, who I read, but she was proposing climate change lockdowns, which I was in shock about because I used to think she was somewhat reasonable. But after I heard that 4 years ago, I was like, okay, the WEF needs to go. No more lockdowns, especially for climate change. But that's considered normal there. And so I think that's why people are telling the WEF to, you know, F off.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, see, now here's just the thing, folks. If you don't know who Brandon Weicker is, he's a contributing editor to American Greatness, the Asia Times and the Washington Times. And you're a former congressional staffer that holds an MA in statecraft and national security affairs from the Institute of World Politics in D.C. And you manage the Weichert Report, World News Done Right, splitting your time between sunny Southwest Florida and bucolic Northern Virginia. I love it the way they refer to this. Your publicists or something else, bucolic. It's like, Virginia, oh, my God, I'm going to vomit. It's like, what in Hades is going on there, Brandon? You know, I think you'd rather stay in Florida now that Ron's back.
Well, nowadays I'm staying in Florida a lot more. I have contracts with the Defense Department. They bring me up to talk about geotechnology, which is sort of the confluence of international relations or security with the new technologies that are being developed. But ever since it was outed that I'm a Trump supporter and I'm a Republican, they don't bring me up as much as they used to.
Why are you described as a panic and anxiety inducing scholar? Why do they say that?
Well, that was something I thought would be funny to add in there because that's how I've been described. If you read my work or you listen to me when I do these interviews, I tend to kind of articulate the threats we're facing. I do always offer hope, but the media tends to focus on the panic and anxiety part. There's always hope at the end of my work. When I talk about the Iran threat, when I talk about what China's doing, it's very scary stuff. I mean, we're talking World War III type stuff. But in particular, with both the Chinese and Iranian threats, we have an election in November, and I fundamentally believe that Americans can get it right in November. Then we can sort of find an off ramp to World War III. If we get it wrong and we put, you know, bumbling Biden back in, it's not going to be pretty for us, because Biden is incapable, and the people around him who are really running things, they are incapable of doing what needs to be done in terms of addressing our national security.
Well, see, a lot of people are afraid that Michael Robinson is going to run instead of Biden, that they're going to put Michael Robinson in instead, a.k.a. Michelle Obama, who just looks awful. The way that – here's the thing. The pictures I see that the media shows of Michelle – I mean, she dresses like a drag queen, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, she's showing off stuff that a first lady normally wouldn't do. And I gotta like, okay, only drag queens show that kind of stuff off. They first off, they get bras that are too small. I mean, come on, really? I mean, if you study the pattern, and now you got somebody that's registered before Obama ran for office in 2008 as a male. The voter registration cards are out there. They don't lie. And people, I don't think, are going to fall for this. I mean, but we got bigger fish to fry, because half the pundits I talk to think that if China decides to invade Taiwan and we interfere, that's what's going to start World War III. You got another contingent that says, no, the Middle East is going to get crazy and there's going to be a ramp up there. That's going to start World War III. What side of the fence are you on?
So I wrote the book, The Shadow War, Iran's Quest for Supremacy. It was supposed to be a warning of what not to do. And of course, Biden has been doing everything I said not to do. So I am of the mind that the big conflict will initiate in the in Middle East. But it will obviously, because Iran is close partners with China and Russia, it will inevitably bring in those other world powers, notably China. So it will, just like the world wars in Europe, it will ripple out from the continent or from the region into a full-blown world war. And at that point, you're going to see – actually, I think you're going to see knock-on events. I think first of all, Ukrainians have lost. I think the Russians have won that war. I think we really blew it in Europe. Second of all, I think World War III starts in the Middle East. I think after that, you're going to see three major crises happen at once. You're going to see Venezuela invade Guyana, creating the largest refugee flow coming up to the United States southern border in our history. It will completely overwhelm our border. We will be completely, you know, frozen because of that. And then in the Indo-Pacific, I think you're going to see China do a few things. I think China's going to hit the Indians in northern India and continue that war there and for the control of the Ladakh province. I said it, I think, and then you're going to see North Korea do something to South Korea. And once you have all of those crises flowing at once, because China's grand strategy calls for creating at least four crises to stretch the American military to its breaking point. And at that point, that's when China goes in hard to Taiwan. But I think the trigger point, the spark, is going to be in the Middle East, because Iran is trying to grow and take over the region. Iran is a Shiite ethnic Persian country in a mostly Arab ethnic region, Sunni Muslim region. So there's a big religious feud there. The rest of the region doesn't want Iran in the dominant power position, but China and Russia do. And so you now have this very big problem. And Iran is attacking Israel through their proxies, the three H's, as I say, Hezbollah, Houthis, and Hamas. And the reason that Iran is attacking Israel, the reason that Iran's proxies are attacking Saudi Arabia from Yemen, is because they're trying to weaken America's power projection, because they see that Israel and the Saudis and the Sunni Arab states, those are traditional American allies. Weaken them, push them out, you push the Americans out.
Wow, that's some heavy-duty stuff, and I'm just looking
panic at, and anxiety inducing.
I know, I get it, but see, the thing is Americans are like, look, I can't do anything about that. They're looking at the geopolitical analyses like you're saying, and folks, I mean, if you got a question for Brandon, phone lines are open at 844-769-2944, but the bigger picture is, I mean, make the question legitimate about the subject matter. Don't go off on stuff. I mean, Brandon is a geopoliticist and understands. He's been looking at this equation. I really think that, you know, something we were talking about before we came on had to do with what's going to happen at our southern border, and all of these Iranians, Middle Easterners, Chinese, all coming into this country. The fact that our transformers have a back door that can be cyber attacked. I'm looking at EMP to blind America.
Yep.
There's a possibility of a nuke strike. I mean, where are you on all that, on EMP?
So what I want to say is, because especially what we were talking about before the show, you know, I think that the off ramp for all of this, as I said at the beginning, if we get a different president, a lot of these crises kind of, they don't go away, but they die down, because Iran in particular is scared crapless of Donald Trump because he kills their leaders. And so they know that if he's president again, their little schemes are going to have to be put on ice until he's gone again as president. And so with the southwestern border, what I've been tracking since November of 2022 is these Iranian uranium, say that five times fast, shipments. Yeah. To Iran's proxies. So in November of 2022, Israeli intelligence warned U.S. intelligence that a small shipment of uranium came out of Iran and was headed toward the Houthis in Yemen. The assumption was the Houthis were going to use this in their next wave of missile strikes on the region. That shipment of uranium was intercepted. Unfortunately, it was intercepted by Al-Qaeda, which means that Al-Qaeda now has Iranian nuclear weapons material. And then a month later, another shipment of Iranian uranium was detected and intercepted at Heathrow International Airport at a offsite storage unit there. And they went in there, the British authorities did, and they intercepted it. But it was determined that they think this shipment was heading for Hezbollah agents in the country, because Hezbollah has their agents in every major Western country, and they've been there for decades. And so my concern has always been, these are not just isolated incidents. This is part of a larger Iranian program to move their nuclear material to their proxies, who are lying in wait in Western countries, where they then will build dirty bombs with that little small amount of uranium and detonate those dirty bombs in Western cities once the actual war between Iran and the United States begins. And we know our border has been flooded by thousands of Iranian agents, illegal immigrants, who then are arrested at the border in some cases, and they're then told, we'll pay for you to go to the American city of your choice. That's what the Customs and Border Patrol is doing. And so we are moving Iranian and Chinese agents to their cities of choice so they can then lie in wait and attack us. And I think that's what's happening here.
That's some pretty scary stuff. And the thing is it is a reality. We know it's happening. We had a Moroccan fella come across the border and say, you will soon know who I am. You know, when you get stuff like that going on, that's a threat. That's a direct threat to America. Sure. And yet they let the guy in, take him to a processing center, and there you go, out the door. Here's your credit card with $5,000 on it. Go spend it. Have a nice life. And then, you know, oh, hey, don't forget to blow something up on the way out the door. Because this is what they're going to do. I just have this distinct feeling that we're going to be in the middle of a crisis situation. But the thing is it's the major cities they want to target because they can inflict the most panic and the most anger. And this is what is going to cause a civil war of mass proportions in the major cities at first.
Well, and it's also ironic.
They got to blind us first, though, Brandon, don't they? They have to blind us first with the cyber attack.
Yeah, well, So the concerns are, yes, the cyber Pearl Harbor that takes out critical infrastructure nodes, and the Chinese and Russians in particular are very effective at those. Of course, we are effective as well. The problem is that our people, our National Security Agency, our cyber command are all programmed and conditioned to not strike first. So we wait to get hit, and then we hit back, but then you have a problem there. Another issue that I wrote about in my first book, Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower, is a space Pearl Harbor. China in particular, but Russia as well, have developed robust capabilities known as anti-satellite capabilities or counter-space capabilities to basically render our forces and our wider society deaf, dumb, and blind by knocking out critical satellites in orbit as a prelude to a larger attack on Earth. Iran and North Korea, interestingly, have focused on developing their so-called satellite programs, which James Woolsey, former CIA director, worries is actually a backdoor program, not only to test ballistic missiles for nuclear weapons delivery, but also to test these EMP satellites, electromagnetic pulse satellites. You basically put them in a bizarre orbit that goes north to south around the Earth, a polar orbit, and basically our air defense systems are not attenuated to shooting down things on that orbit, and that gives them an advantage. North Korea has several handful of these satellites in orbit. Iran has several handful of these satellites now in orbit, and they have weird names. One of them, the Iranian name is Noor, I believe, which means light in Persian, and that led my late colleague Dr. Pry to assume that this could be an EMP bomb with its orbit and its name. In fact, in 2010, Iran's government, it's a Sharia-approved attack using EMPs to knock out the electronics of the United States to basically send us into the 19th century, which would be a big problem for stopping Iran elsewhere if our military is basically inert.
Yeah, and it could happen. And here's the other thing. Let's not forget directed energy weapons and what happened on Maui. Then that thing, you know, we suspect it was the Chinese that did it. It wasn't U.S. They have corporations and other people do their dirty work for them because the government can't attack its own people on its own measure. They have to hire outside contractors and make deals with people to do stuff like this. But when you take directed energy weapons, and a lot of our listeners are very much aware of those things and believe that's what happened on Maui, what's the future of directed energy weapons in this fight we just talked about?
Well, if there is a greater conflict with China, we are going to be deploying, I believe, some really remarkable ace in the hole technologies. In fact, I've written, and I want to make it clear, I'm not a UFO guy. I have written, though, that I think the influx in the last few years of all these senior government people talking about aliens and UFOs, I actually think that that is a cover story. I think that we have developed some incredible ace in the hole technologies, not just directed energy weapons. I think we have next generation aerospace technology that we've been developing for decades. And I think that when China goes into Taiwan, we're going to find ourselves on our heels and we're going to have to throw some pretty wild punches. And I think one of those things you're going to see is suddenly the U.S. government releasing quite a few amazing technologies that we were told we didn't have or that were the product of little green men. I don't believe they are. I think the U.S. government has some really incredible technology. It's been working on at Edwards Air Force Base and, elsewhere. And I think that that's the kind of the natural pathway you're going to see this conflict follow, because right now, using conventional technologies, China is only a few years behind us now. We have been feeding them for 50 years, ever since we went into trade deals with them, and they've been taking our industry and using that to build their war machine up, and now 50 years later, they're right at our backside.
So death to America, that seems to be the big thing as far as Iran is concerned. But the bigger problem is how they're going to achieve it. Because, I mean, even Osama bin Laden came out as a Saudi and said America is going to choke on itself. And they're doing it from within as well. I mean, we've got 20% in favor of Hamas, 80% in favor of Israel. They've started internal conflict, mostly at our universities. I mean, you've been looking at the geopolitics as far as boots on the ground here. America's reaction to all of this, are we just as equally as blind as our military is right now at this point?
The American people, unfortunately, are partly to blame for the situation that we're, you know, we live in a democracy.
That's what they tell us. We don't believe that for a minute, Brandon. Right. We're in a constitutional republic.
That's what I mean. Yes, of course. Yeah. Yes. Representative democracy. So the people bear responsibility if their government isn't working the best way it should be. And I think for at least 30 or 40 years, at least, most Americans have been very apathetic about what happens with their government. And so now we have two generations of leadership in Washington, D.C., in both parties, that are completely going to do what special interests want, not what the most American people want, because the American people were not letting their voices be heard. But now you're seeing the rise of populism. And that is, a delayed response to what we've been witnessing in terms of corruption and sort of the betrayal of our elite, you know, feeding China with all of our technology or you know, letting the illegal immigrants in. But I worry that it might be too late, which is why I say November of this year is going to be a big determinant on the future of our country, because my hope is that enough Americans have woken up and that their votes will count for them to be able to kind of get the ship of state righted here, because right now it's sinking. And another we will not survive another term of Joe Biden or whoever's the Democrat, because I'm skeptical that it's going to be Biden. Maybe Obama Newsom, Michelle Obama or Michael Obama Newsom. That could be the ticket. And that's also scary because for whatever reason, the former first lady has a lot of support, particularly among minority voters, which really could overwhelm Trump's support. Trump is a pugilist. If he gets into a debate with her, he could really mess her up. But the problem is he'll look like a bully beating up on the former first lady, which could turn off a lot of women voters who are already disinclined to vote for him. So we have a big problem, and the American people have really let this country slide by voting or not even getting engaged in politics, or by voting for the wrong person.
Well, see, then you have some other problems that come into play here. One of them is the World Health Organization and Disease X, which right. Everybody is now saying, oh, it's going to happen. Now, so what's your take on Disease X? Does it look like this is just another one of these COVID things that they're going to try to attempt to take over America and reduce our freedoms, kill our freedoms and censor us and not let us be able to pay our bills and institute CBDCs? I mean, where is all this? I mean, this is the thing about the EU and everything that's going on over there. It looks like a prelude. But the thing is they're all these EU leaders are worried about is Trump getting elected because he's going to disconnect from NATO and all this other. I don't really believe that he'll disconnect from NATO. The Paris Climate Accord, he will, but I don't think he'll disconnect from NATO. I think he is using that to strong arm to get peace, to achieve peace. But from a geopolitical standpoint, where do you see this going?
The Disease X thing, my other book, Biohacks, China's Race to Control Life, I have the evidence in there. I love how it's breaking news now, but my book came out in I think May of last year. I had the breaking news, but I'm not Pentagon approved. So, you know, I'm not a Pentagon approved reporter. So they don't give me the breaking news. Basically I think that COVID came from a lab. I think it was a bioweapon. Two Marine Corps colonels told me in one of my briefings that I was giving, they were throwing around terms like biological 9/11, and they were with Marine intelligence. And so I think it's pretty well known that this was a bio attack. And I think that, I think elements of our government, if they didn't directly work with China to develop it, they certainly helped to fund it. And they certainly were happy to see that disease come over here during the middle of Trump's reelection cycle in 2020, because before COVID hit, Trump was unbeatable. Trump was going to win in a landslide, I believe. And COVID hit, and then that ruined it. And I think that the WEF and all of their pals want to do the same thing with this Disease X. And I think Disease X, if it comes, it will come soon. And I think if it comes, it will suddenly go away if Biden is reelected or any Democrat gets the White House. Because that's how these things work, because diseases are political in the modern age now, apparently.
Well, the bigger problem is what they tried to do the last time, they're not going to get away with this time, because I see very few people wearing masks these days, which is a sign of compliance. I see people saying, I'm not getting another jab. We got 220 million Americans out there that did get at least one, if not two jabs, that are walking time bombs. A lot of them have said, I'm not getting a booster. Some of them have gotten three and four and five boosters. It just depends. They all just are fear motivated by our government, and they believe everything the government tells them instead of God. They don't put their faith in the right place. You know, for a country that professes in God we trust, It's like, okay, why did 220 million of you go out and believe everything those fearmongers in D.C. told you? They have ulterior motives, and that is to completely control and use kill switches electronically and otherwise to depopulate this country so they can fill it with illegal immigrants and multiculturalize America. I mean, isn't that where this really is going? Isn't that what their intention is?
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, the In God We Trust bit is kind of funny because, like I said, the American voter has really changed in, you know, since the days when that was true. And I think that's a big part of why our country is in the position it's in. Paul Johnson is probably my favorite historian of the 20th century. And he just died recently. He wrote A History of the Modern Times in the 80s. And he talked about how the reason the 20th century was so bloody was because so many people, even in America, had stopped believing in God. And when you stop believing in God, you start, you know, doing what we saw in the previous century and we're seeing continue now in the current century. You know, we talk about COVID. And the reason I included COVID in my book on biohacking was because COVID is part of a larger movement of biohacking, which is basically using CRISPR-Cas9. And China, we gave China this technology. And so they are using it for military purposes. They call it specific ethnic genetic attacks. But using those sorts of technologies that were designed to help cure cancer, for instance, to now weaponize and create these specific bioweapons to wipe out entire ethnic groups that China doesn't like, or, you know, to suppress votes, to you know, release artificial diseases in order to change political outcomes in a given country. This is evil and this is ungodly. This is certainly, you know, abusing our position as the top of the food chain to really, really do some awful things just for political purposes. So the longer we also are a nation of unbelievers, it's going to get worse, not better.
Well, the thing is, and, you know, with a couple of minutes we have left here.
Sure.
First off, where do you get the books? Let's get that out of the way first. Where do you buy these two books?
Well, I would first say, I usually say do your local bookstores, but those are going away, unfortunately, because of COVID. So I would say go to Amazon. You can get them. Any online book retailer is probably your best bet. Walmart has them online, Barnes & Noble. I even think Books A Million online is around still, but pretty much any online book retailer will be your surefire bet. But you can probably also find them in your local bookstore if there are any left.
Well, and the other thing, too, is you can also go through our guest portal on thepowerhour.com.
Awesome.
And you can go to the show and you can click on either one of the books and you can actually help support the Power Hour by going through to get to Amazon to buy the books, because we have to stay on the air. We have to be able to get the word out. It's important. You know, the bottom line here right now in the present day is everybody's watching what Israel is doing. People are going, we can't control this. We have to control what's going on in our own country right now.
Yep.
U.S. is off fighting all these wars, and they're basically spreading themselves so thin, they're leaving us, we the people, vulnerable. And so,
which is the point, right? Which is the point.
We have to, we the people have to react right now. Is that not what our final purpose is?
That is what our final purpose is. It's what our founding fathers did when the British were pushing them around. And it's what I think Americans are inclined to do when the circumstances arise. And I think the circumstances are arising now.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Brandon Weikert, we appreciate you on the show and enlightening us with a little geopolitical news. We will be back after these important messages from the Power Mall. Brett Deshevsky joins us to talk about where to put your wealth. Time to start shifting stuff because these banks are not going to be too friendly in the upcoming months. Stay with us. Be right back. Thank you.
iComplex CS is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health, as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients, such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean black seed oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on black seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi everyone, this is Catherine, producer of the Power Hour. Not very many of you know that I suffer from an autoimmune disease, and one product that I depend on daily is Global Healing Center's organic plant-based selenium. Selenium is essential for optimal endocrine and immune function, and for moderating the inflammatory response. Not only that, but this essential trace mineral plays a vital role in promoting a healthy thyroid, maintaining cardiovascular health, and supporting metabolism. This expertly crafted supplement is extracted from the mustard seed plant. It is vegan-friendly and highly bioavailable, ensuring optimal absorption of this powerful antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from the Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646. uscoincapital.com.
Minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, and the gentleman whose voice you just heard joins us on the program, Fred Deshefsky from uscoincapital.com. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing fabulous. Boy, we have just been talking about geopolitical events, and a lot of it has to do with what's going on at the southern border and our economy being weakened and them spending $20 billion relocating refugees into this country and what the outcomes possibly are. Man, I'm telling you, this is a time when people need to start looking at their wealth and repositioning it, don't you think?
Well, you know, I think it becomes more and more important, the more manipulation we have in an economy, for people to consider at least some minimal wealth protection. You know, my concern was we came through 2023, we survived it. I remember at the beginning of the year, we started with $31.5 trillion worth of national debt, which alarmed a lot of people. The finance people on Wall Street were concerned how the government would manage it. So we started this year from the $31.5 trillion a year ago. We start this year at $34 trillion. Welcome to a new record level.
Scary stuff. And now we got reports out this morning that the U.S. economy and all these corporate employers out there with employees that basically don't want to work, they're unhappy with their jobs, cost the American corporate economy $1.9 trillion last year.
That's incredible.
Because people don't. How do these people prepare if they don't want to work? I mean, how's that possible? I mean, you have, we've been talking about this all morning this morning about the have-nots and the haves. And see, the haves are the people that you want to talk to. These are the people that need to reinvest and reposition their wealth. You know, I'm not a big fan of the stock market. I've told people that it's a rich man's game. They're going to manipulate. You just said manipulation's a big thing right now. The one thing that they can't really manipulate too much because it's legal, and that's to collect gold and silver. And believe you me, you know, there's nothing more I like than the sound of silver coins, which I got a whole bunch of. Listen to that, man. You can tell they're silver coins because of the way they bounce on the table.
There's nothing like that sound.
Franklin Habs, baby. Franklin Habs.
Beautiful.
This is the thing. You know, you got to be a believer in this stuff, and there's a reason for it. First off, I want to get into the junk market too, because that's okay. What I like to collect a lot of. I mean, your focus has been, I mean, you got 39 years in the rare U.S. gold and silver coin industry. And so, you know, you're looking at this from a numismatic approach. First off, that's your kind of the macroeconomic view, I guess, from everything that we talked about in previous episodes. Where are we at when you dial that down?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We've worked with an array of things over my now 40-year career, and it starts with, you know, the really rare coins that you mentioned, and we have dealt with those for many, many years, and they've been terrific for investors. You know, some coins individually that cost literally several hundred thousand per coin. But most people over the past 3 or 4 years, especially since COVID, there was a shift in the focus, and it became much more predicated on the idea of wealth protection. And the collector market still did extremely well and was very vibrant. And we continue to see price increases over the past few years. But there was clearly a psychological shift amongst a lot of clients that came to us, especially newer investors, who were really focusing upon their concerns and more about wealth protection. And that ended up having the shift look more towards what we call generic coins. So let's say, for example, we have $20 gold coins that ended in 1933. And we may have some that are readily available for, you know, 20 or 30% more than the metal content they're made of. And then there'll be rare dates that could be worth literally millions of dollars. But the focus seemed to go to the more common generic ones for wealth protection. And in the form of silver, very interestingly, the value for silver coins right now in the United States, and these are dimes, quarters, or 50-cent pieces, just like the Franklins you were just showing, anything minted up to and including the date of 1964, when those happened to have been minted by the government, they actually were made of silver. And then the production of those silver coins ended in 1964, so the supply was cut off forever. But now people can accumulate them. And over the years, of course, they began to carry a higher value than merely the melt content. You know, if you just took that half dollar you have on your desk and weighed it and said, well, how much silver in there? Well, there's 0.36 ounces of actual pure silver in that 50-cent piece. But the value for that coin continued to grow over the years as they started to get a little scarcer. More people were accumulating them in vast quantities, buying full bags of them at a time. And the accumulation continued until the premiums over the melt grew and grew and grew. Until about 2 or 3 years ago, I think we hit a peak. And then over the last year or so, it has begun to subside. It happens once in a while in the industry. And as we stand right now, at the beginning of 2024, the value for those kinds of pre-64 silver coins is closest to the metal content that it's had in probably the past 5 or 6 years. So their premium value has been compressed. I think it's a function of shipping issues that happened throughout the United States the past few years, a lot of those problems were, you know, ports getting backlogged with ships that they couldn't unload, trucking problems across the United States. It raised the cost of shipping, and I think that affected a lot of what was happening within the gold and silver coins. And the next thing new, we had premium values that were approaching $8 or $9 over the spot price of silver, which would translate to about $4 or $5 per 50-cent piece. Well, that premium has gone from $8 down to about $1.
Wow.
And it's the tightest I have seen it in years. So right now, silver half dollars are actually a little cheaper than where they were when the silver price was a little lower. And I think the simplest analogy I've come up for people to understand this is, imagine you're looking at a house, let's say it's $500,000, and you have a fixed rate mortgage at 8%. Then the house goes up $50,000, $75,000, but the interest rate goes down. Your mortgage payment might actually be cheaper on the higher priced house because the interest payment is much more important in terms of your monthly expenses. So your monthly payment is lower even though the house price is higher. And the same thing has happened to the silver and gold common coins. Although the price of silver and gold have creeped up, the price for the coins is actually a little bit lower because their premium has been compressed. I don't think this is going to last long. But for anybody that was ever looking to enter the market, what a great buying opportunity. It's like those people who took advantage of those 3% mortgages on homes a year ago.
Makes sense. And see, this is one of the reasons why we have Fred on, folks, is because a lot of you are sitting there thinking about getting out of the markets and taking your earnings and hedging your bets. This is one thing as far as silver coins, which I'm a big believer of. I find it, you know, and I've got to still get it through the mindset, folks, and a lot of you are wrestling with this idea. Fred is big into numismatics, but he also deals in, I mean, I'm seeing a big opportunity here for people to score if the premium is dropping that low on stuff. And with silver spot being, you're saying, as close to, let's talk for a minute as far as the content of silver right now. They refer to fine silver as 0.999. The other silver coins, like the half dollar I just showed you, is 0.90. Is that my understanding? Is that right? Or is it different?
Well, yes, it's correct. Here's how this works. The silver that's in the coin is 999 fine, but the coin itself also has a 10% copper content. So there's an additional metal to it. So its total composition represents 0.900 silver. That's why if you took a half dollar and weighed it, it weighs a half ounce, but actually the metal content in it, the pure amount of silver, is 0.36 ounces of pure silver. So interestingly, again, we always expected that these things should have to carry a little value more than the metal, because unlike a bar of silver or a round that could be minted today, as long as they mine silver, all you have is a manufacturing cost, and you can crank that stuff out all day long. But those silver halves that are sitting on your desk cannot be reproduced. And with that fixed supply, they should carry a little additional value. Secondly, of course, the fact that they are legal money. I mean, that's constitutional United States currency. It was issued by the government, so it carries a huge amount of respect and is a viable method for people to conduct commerce in the event of some sort of economic disasters, because people will respect and understand it, you know, as opposed to if I gave you a 100-ounce bar and wanted to pay you with it, you know, you might start scratching your head and saying, well, first of all, Fred, maybe I trust you, but how do I know this is a 100-ounce silver bar? You know, did you take a piece of lead and coat it? Is it just microplated? How do I know it's pure? So what are you going to do now? You're going to drill a hole in the bar, and you're going to get an assayer to look at it and check out its relative purity. That seems to me to be a lot of trouble. Now, if I handed you a silver 50-cent piece with Ben Franklin's, you know, face on it, and it's got a date, 1956, I think you can readily see immediately this is a U.S. government coin, and nobody feels compelled to drill the silver to find out what purity it is. So it should have a value a more than its metal content. But I have never seen the premiums this tight in the market. And again, it only happens occasionally. It's happened three or four times in my nearly 40-year career. I don't think this is going to last long. But again, it's like getting one of those mortgages when the rates were cheaper. Everybody who did it looks back and they look like a genius. And they were. They were brilliant if they locked up a fixed rate mortgage at 3 or 3.5%. Because even now, only a year and a half later, you can't touch one for less than about 7%. It's more than double. And if you're in the secondary market, you're paying 9 or 10% for interest these days. So those 3% loans were brilliant. And I think the same opportunity with these low premiums over melt content does create a great buying opportunity. Even if that didn't exist, with silver at $23 and the government $34 trillion in debt, if you think they printed a lot of money last year, wait till you see what they do in 2024. The government is going to burn through money at a pace I don't think anybody's ever seen, and I think the public needs to be prepared for that change in the purchasing power of the paper they're carrying, because against that paper money, when the increase of supply is that vast, you lose buying power, and this translates into what people perceive as inflation, which is higher consumer prices that the public experiences in the day-to-day world.
Sure. Now, is your phone ringing off the hook?
It's been crazy. We have a lot of concerned investors, and they're scratching their heads trying to put this whole thing together. On top of which, again, the intervention I mentioned last year was more extensive than any time I've ever seen. And this was the behind-the-scenes stuff. This is the Federal Reserve operating under the covers that nobody's really paying attention to, but they quietly sold off nearly $1 trillion worth of their assets off their balance sheet by selling their bond portfolio back into the open market or allowing the bonds they held to roll over and not reinvest the capital. That competes for new money. And the problem that that exhibits is this. Yesterday, for example, the U.S. Treasury held a two-year bond auction. They sold $60 billion in bonds yesterday just to raise the money they needed to get through the current week. $60 billion was a record, only been set once or twice before in United States history. And this has now become the new standard. This is how much they have to sell in Treasury obligations on a regular basis to fund the bleeding government expenditures. But how do they do that simultaneously?
Who's buying it?
Well, therein lies the problem. So the world has to have confidence in the U.S. dollar in order to choose to support that kind of bond purchase. You know, if you're an investor, you could have gotten 4.3% return on these two-year notes. How much money would you be willing to invest to earn 4.3%? You're locked in. You have to hold it for 2 years. And you have to believe that the inflation rate is not going to exceed that interest payment. Otherwise, it's a negative returning yield. You're not gaining anything if inflation's 5% and they're paying you 4.3%. And that's before the taxes you have to pay. So, yeah, who are the buyers? And herein lies the problem. If we can't convince the public, well, then it comes to various countries that have to buy it. Then it's pension accounts and investment managers. And then it goes to the secondary market, the bond buyers themselves, who say to themselves, okay, well, we'll take billions of this stuff, we'll put it on our balance sheet, and then try to sell it to our customers. So they're now going to have to go convince their client base that this is a smart play. You know, you got a hedge fund with billions or trillions of dollars in it, and you got to park the money somewhere. So we're going to convince you that, hey, $10 billion of that in two-year notes at 4.3%, that's a smart play, so you should buy this stuff. And the investment bankers are going to have to try to sell this product, while simultaneously the government is going to try to continue to raise revenue this way, and the Federal Reserve is going to be trying to sell its own stuff simultaneously. This is where I have a problem with this whole concept that the Fed is about to land the plane and we're going to get this soft landing and that they're going to start lowering rates by March. I don't really see that happening.
Wow. Predictions from the economic guru that Fred Jastrzebski is joining us here on the program, folks. I mean, if this doesn't motivate you to do the constructive thing and go out and invest in silver coin, I think the biggest phobia that people have, and I'm sure you get this question a lot, Fred, because I'll call you right after the show and we're going to work a deal. The situation is they want to know, if I go take that half dollar when times get tough and banks start trying to convert to digital or whatever the case may be, because like we discussed before, it's a matter of convenience. They'll try to convince you that way. And when that doesn't work, they do it by force. Yeah. But then you got this half dollar and you go into the store and you say, what will this half dollar buy me? And if inflation doesn't chew away at the item you want to buy, whether it's food or whatever it is, they're going to say it'll buy you 50 cents worth of stuff.
Well, it's really unlikely.
And I'm like, well, this is a silver coin, for crying out loud. How are we to convince these people in a rational way? I mean, you being a numismatic guru, you are. I mean, have you come up with that rationale already as to how the average guy on the street is going to deal with somebody on the open market if we have to use this as a medium of exchange?
Absolutely. We must answer that question, you know, a dozen times a day. And here's the thing. So there's two parts of the way that people look at this. The people that have a lot of wealth are generally not really concerned about the day-to-day spending as much as saying, look, I've spent my lifetime doing what I did. I did something smart. I accumulated money. What I don't want to see is the value of that money get stripped away now at the last hour because I foolishly happen to have had it in the wrong form. That's their problem. Now, other people are looking from that basic standpoint of an economic problem of feeding their family, you know, in the most basic sense, day-to-day commerce. So what is going to happen? So let's presume that we have this sort of economic problem that requires the use of a silver 50-cent piece. We have to, first of all, look at the problem and say, that means that somebody has lost respect for the paper money. In other words, we're presuming that the grocer is going to look at that $20 bill and go, no, I'm not taking that as a form of payment. What else can you offer me? Well, if I have a handful of silver, I don't care what form it's in, whether it's something recognizable or bought, whatever, it at least is going to have some standing because there's the metal value, if nothing else, that retains a purchasing power that's recognized. Silver and gold, the both metals, they've been around for literally thousands and thousands of years. If you think about how many economies they've been used in, all sorts of different governments, all sorts of different economies across the planet for literally thousands of years for the same fundamental reasons. You cannot go in your backyard and find silver half dollars. You can't mine silver in your yard. It is a difficult process to mine gold and silver. It has to be found. It has to be processed. It has to be produced and mined and refined, put into some sort of useful form, shipped to somebody, sold to somebody. So the fact that we already have an existing form of silver that's recognizable, that will become extremely popular. And the demand for it will be huge amongst a growing number of people who are awakened to the fact that their paper dollar just isn't functioning anymore. So with this increasing demand, anybody who has them is going to be in the control position. And you'll be able to command what you want for these things because everyone will want them and nobody will be able to get them. Because I assure you, if we have anything close to what you're alluding to, a real kind of, you know, upset in the economy, even if it's short term, there would be a skyrocketing demand for silver and gold coins overnight. It would wipe supplies out across the country in a heartbeat. We've had problems already in the past couple of years with inventory. We had shortages two or three times since COVID that cleaned the market out on a national level. You could not get silver coins or gold coins in any quantity for periods of days or weeks at a time. People were lining up, and that was without any kind of massive disaster. If we have any real fundamental problem, I would foresee the demand for these things going up so much that they would become readily, easily tradable for all sorts of commerce, goods, and services because they would represent a stronger alternative to the paper money that everybody has decided, yeah, I just don't buy that premise anymore, that these paper notes have a value. You know, I've said this recently, and I say it kind of kiddingly, but it's almost, you know, a reality. It's like the whole world has accepted this premise. We're all going to kind of together accept this notion, this reality that these paper notes have a value. And I'm going to give them to you and you're going to take it. Why? Because you can give it to the next guy and he's going to play the same game. But at some point, somebody's going to wake up and go, wait a minute, why are we all trading these things between each other when they really don't have any value at all? What constitutes the value in that note? The only strength to it is the relative strength of the government that issues it. And if the government that issues it's already $34 trillion in debt, if people are not asking this question of why do these things have value and is this the smartest place for me to store all of my wealth, I think they're missing a big problem. And this is why I've stated this from the beginning. I don't believe people should diversify of all of their paper. I don't believe that we're going to experience an ultimate demise in its value to zero. But I think wealth protection is absolutely essential, and people should diversify a portion of their capital into something real, you know, something that stands the test of time. And nothing, nothing in history has stood the test of time better than gold and silver.
Well, because it has intrinsic value and the U.S. dollar has extrinsic value, and it's only worth what the will of we the people say it's worth.
That's it.
And if they lose faith in the dollar, I mean, and all these influences on the outside, like BRICS and the World Economic Forum and all the stuff that's going on the outside, is influencing the way we behave on the inside, because people are saying, look, I know I have to have a certain amount of, we haven't even discussed what the average person, I've always been saying that you should have $1,000 face value of at least junk silver in your portfolio for every person in your family. $1,000
standard. I absolutely
face value. I that's why I wanted your take on that.
I absolutely agree with that. I think that's a great way to look at it. It's logical. It is perfectly useful. It'll be a great returning investment over the time anyway. It's flexible. You know, $1,000 face value, just to make sure people recognize what you're saying, that would be 2,000 of those 50-cent pieces. And we call that a bag of silver, 1,000 face value, because that's how the banks used to deal with them. So they would put 10,000 dimes in a bag, slap $1,000 face value on it, and that's would trade back and forth as a product. So 4,000 quarters, 10,000 dimes, 2,000 50-cent pieces, that's a $1,000 face value bag. That would cost today about $23,000, and I think having a bag per family member is like wealth protection, the same way you would have fire protection on your home. It makes perfect sense to do that, and I think it's a great way to approach it, because I think that's logical, it's not over the top, and it represents a good way for people to protect their wealth and have flexibility.
Yeah, we appreciate it, folks. I don't like playing in ether, and that's what the stock markets are. It's a rich man's game if you want to preserve the wealth. This is nothing better than call Fred. The number is 800-878-2646. Fred Jasiewski, always enlightening to get a snootful of knowledge from you. I mean, this is, like I say, this is the guru you need to be talking to. Give Fred a call after the show ends. He'll be available. I'm going to, so you need to, too.
Our full staff is here and ready and educated. Anybody who works with us has been here for a very long time. They'll be very helpful. And again, I do encourage people to ask questions. We will definitely take the time to help people understand and explain this. We don't expect people to jump into the market without knowledge.
Thank you.
Are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.